From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, Blue Blue Show. This is the Rink Podcast post-game versus the Penguins. We just can't buy a win versus Pittsburgh, man. It's like they got our number. We come into PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh earlier this year. We can't get a win. The Sunday game, it got out of hand ASAP after the 1-0 lead by Zibanejad. But the three unanswered goals in the first period, that Sunday game, I was irate. Like, I turned the game off. Like, you know, there was a couple of things. There was a couple of things going on. You know, on the Knicks side of things, I was kind of fascinated by the Obi Toppin slam dunk contest. We'll talk about that on the Knicks podcast on Wednesday. So watching the Rangers on Sunday versus the same Pittsburgh Penguins, I turned the game off. I had to actually go back and, you know, calm down, rewatch it on tape, because I was so frustrated on what happened on Sunday and plus in the slam dunk competition. So I chose to reevaluate things, knowing that the Rangers lost on Sunday to the Pittsburgh Penguins, with a clear head on how things went versus the Penguins. And then tonight's game, you know, Crosby getting an empty netter to get the 4-2 win. There was just some exciting moments late in that third period. There were some exciting moments as far as opportunities, specifically Buchnevich on the one-man advantage. They had their chances tonight. Buchnevich twice, Stone twice, Majari. And it is frustrating because I'm tired of losing to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm really frustrated because we went into Pittsburgh with 2-6 spots versus Jersey, versus the Devils, carried that momentum, had a 1-0 lead on Sunday, and then just gave up three unanswered in the first. And then tonight's game, where it would just seem like bad luck, where Ryan Lindgren's his stick, I think, broke when he tried to pass it. And he is, what, how many goals is it? Three goals late in the period that we've given up? Like, we're not closing out periods versus a good team like Pittsburgh, and it's killing us. It's killing us. But we'll talk about it, man. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, the post game, the Rangers lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins twice in Pittsburgh. I'm tired of losing to the Penguins, man. Didn't we not just do a post game like about a couple months ago? Them losing in Pittsburgh, that was the game I think Hedo got clocked, and he returns to Pittsburgh. We discussed this shit. It's like deja vu all over again. Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Let's bring on RP. We'll bring on Glenn after that. RP on Twitter at Forever Bluesters, Empire Sports Media. And RP, you had the post of the week. I don't think we're going to take any more nominations the rest of the week. As far as your irate of the 6 p.m. start, I don't know what. You know, I had to do a double take when I saw the time. I'm like, what? What? So I thought I was tripping. Ranger Pro, what's going on, sir? And then we're going to go, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Steve, how's it going tonight? It's a crappy game, huh?
I'm frustrated, man.
Crappy start, crappy
I'm frustrated.
Game. Yeah.
Right.
Frustrating hockey is a very good way to say it. They're just playing frustrating hockey. I'm sure they feel it. As a fan, we feel it. It's just they're running out of time already.
Yeah.
They're just not playing Ranger hockey. They're too inconsistent. Like, you see what they did in the third period. The Penguins had the only shot on goal was the empty net goal that they scored. You need to play like that all game. You know, early shorthanded goals, late power play goals. You got to play a full 20-minute period and then just not doing it again. So, I don't know. It was a real frustrating kind of a hockey game to watch. We were, what, 2 or 3 points out of a playoff spot when this series started, and we can't get swept. We've been saying that all year, too. You got to at least split these kind of road games. But they're a middle-of-the-pack team, guys. Let's be realistic. Admit it or not, they're better than the Devils and they're better than Buffalo, but they're not better than those other teams that are ahead of them, and it's starting to show now.
All right, cool. Let's get to Glenn, and we're going to come right back to you, RP. Glenn, what's your thoughts, man? Well, hello to you, sir. We'll just say hello, and then we'll go back to you, Glenn.
Hello.
You
doing, hello, Steve. Hello,
hey,
RP.
Hey, man.
yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, again, it's one step forward, one step back. You know, I guess the good news since we've spoken last time is that we're not throwing points away to the Sabres and the Devils anymore. you know, the other thing is that we just can't seem to, you know, beat these better teams. And a lot of them were in the game. They're close games. Again, like RP said, we outshot them 15 to nothing until the empty net shot goal, and 28 to 11 in the last two periods. To be honest, I was kind of shocked when I saw that because I thought Pittsburgh had played, you know, we're kind of frustrating them a little bit. Just seemed to be getting blocking shots and blocking lanes and everything. You know, I mean, this team came off a not great first period, and, you know, they fought back. They got themselves back in the game like they've done many times this year, and just can't seem to get over the hump. And honestly, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but, I mean, I think this team is starting to feel the loss of Panarin. You know, we've had guys like Strom and Buchnevich and Kreider have, you know, understood their responsibility with him out and kind of picked up the pace a bit and everything to kind of fill that void. But, I mean, that void isn't fillable. These games, I don't know how you guys feel, these games just feel different. There isn't the usual dynamic when he's there that you feel anything can happen. You know, you get down a goal or two, they can get back in it. You know, he's the guy on this team that other teams have to watch, keep an eye on, make sure they know where he is all the time. That gives some of the other guys a little more room to maneuver. And I think this team is just finally starting to feel that loss. The games just feel different with him not here.
Right, right. Let's go back to RP on that. RP, your thoughts on this 6 p.m. game? I know you're irate about that.
I don't know why they must have scheduled this game way before fans were coming back and then didn't want to change it. I don't understand what the hell the purpose of the 6 o'clock Tuesday night hockey game is, but that's what they did, and I tried to stream it live on the city bus coming home, and that didn't go well. So good thing my dad was texting me everything. But anyway, you know, the team's missing Panarin. There's no doubt. The team's missing Zibanejad. And I think now they're all leaning on him so much. It's at that stage where one goal, normally you get one goal like you scored the other night, and you're like, oh, that's going to open up the floodgates. And then it just doesn't happen. And now the reverse is happening, guys. The way that Buchnevich got robbed in the third period on those couple of shots, now everyone's starting to squeeze their sticks. Here's a team that all of a sudden can't score goals again. You're not going to win hockey games scoring two goals and one goal and three goals. Not the way other teams are lighting it up. So they're missing a lot of intangibles right now. There's a lot of second guessing. There's a lot of everything going on. It does lead with Panarin, but a lot of other guys down there need to start stepping up. I mean, Kreider has, and Strom's been playing much better. I think Lafreniere, that you can't expect that much out of a rookie, and he's been playing quite well. But they're not a team right now. You don't feel the chemistry when you're watching them. It's back to like when they score a goal, Steve, you're just surprised that they scored a goal. The way that goal by committee was a couple of years ago that we were always talking about, I feel we'll go back into that genre again, and that's not going to fly, not with this division, because the teams ahead of them have no trouble putting the puck in the net. And let's not forget one thing. Goaltending, for some reason, is a problem with the Rangers this season. It's probably something we never thought would be. But when Chesterkin was playing, even when he was playing well, you never felt he was making the big, big save. Gorgiev seems to be a step off. And the coach must have felt that because he put Kincaid in tonight. And yeah, Kincaid played good the other night when he relieved Gorgiev, but he still gave up a couple of goals. Kincaid was here to be a safety net for the expansion draft, not to try to carry the team into wins against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So there's a lot going on, preparation. There's just the team is in bad shape. I think the team's in worse shape than most fans thought coming into the season, before the injuries, before the Panarin leave of absence, before Zibanejad forgot how to score goals. There's a lot going on. And I don't know if they're able to solve all these little pieces of the puzzle before they're eliminated from the playoffs.
All right, we'll go to Glenn, and then I'll say my thoughts. Go ahead, Glenn. What's your thoughts? Anything RP said or anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think RP is certainly right. I mean, Shesterkin has been, you know, okay. He played a bunch of very good games, but I can't say I remember him, you know, necessarily stealing us a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I mentioned this to my wife as we watched him being helped off the ice the other night in New Jersey, and it's too early to really think this way, but now, he's played about 30 games, and he's been injured three times. Once with the ankle a couple of games last season, then the groin in the play-in round with Carolina, and now this. And I really hope, and it's too early to think about it, but I hope we're not looking at, you know, our future goaltender, our future number one, being an injury-prone goaltender. I think what we saw from you know, the other thing I was reading about him today, you know, he never played more than like 30-something games in the KHL in one season. He's only played about 20-something, 30 games for us now. He's never played more than three games in a row, you know, in the NHL. I don't want to start questioning him. I think he's going to be great. I really do. But there's still some questions to be answered about him. Georgiev, I think Georgiev is showing that he's a backup. And that's fine. He's a solid backup. We've had solid backups all the years that Hank was here with Talbot and Antti Raanta. You need that. I always thought that was an advantage that we had. You know, he's another one that, you know, you play him two, three games in a row, and the third one is usually a stinker. You know, and I think he's going to be a very solid backup goaltender, but I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, a number one somewhere like Talbot has gone on to be. And like RP said, you know, you bring in Keith Kincaid, he was supposed to be fodder for the expansion draft. And although he's looked solid in the last couple of games, you know, he's also given up five goals in four periods. So, you know, I mean, he's looked solid, but, you know, that's not going to be good enough. So, I think the goaltending, you know, hopefully it'll play itself out to the positive, but there are still some questions there that maybe we didn't anticipate going in. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. As far as what RP said about, you know, trying to fix things before we're eliminated from the playoffs, I mean, you know, we've been saying for a couple of weeks now, this team's not going to make the playoffs. And it's not because they're not, you know, that good. I mean, they're getting better. I think, but, you know, there's just too many good teams that are better than the Rangers ahead of them to try to, try to jump over. I mean, you're talking about jumping over, you know, Pittsburgh or Washington or Philly. Those teams they're not going to go into a sustained losing streak to allow the Rangers to make up that gap. So, you know, now it's just going to be a matter of, I think, hoping the team gets better. You know, seeing the kids develop and kind of getting ourselves in a position for next year where they really can become a contender. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm not going to enjoy watching them. That doesn't mean they're not going to be exciting. I think we just have to be realistic with where they are this year.
You know, guys, I'm gonna go a little different on this one. I don't think it necessarily the scoring over the last 2 to 3 weeks has been an issue. I just think in this particular game, if you want to call it a mini series with Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh is exposing something against us that I don't think most of the teams of the rest of the, you know, within the division has done to us this year. For instance, the Rangers to me look like they struggle against the opposing team's forecheck, and they got real sloppy with the puck. For instance, go back to the goal that tied up the game. Or the goal that with Jake Guentzel right before the end of the period. It, like, the Rangers gave it, what, to my knowledge, I think it's three goals within the last 3-4 minutes of the period. They did it three times in this miniseries since Sunday. It is what killed them on Sunday. It made me turn off the game. Like I said at the start of this episode, I turned off the game and came back and watched the next day because I was too pissed watching it. Because the Rangers had a 1-0 lead, everything was going, and he got sloppy with the puck because I think Pittsburgh's forecheck is made the Rangers really uncomfortable. This is what I mean. That's what I've been seeing all night too, to an extent. I think when you add that element, and then also sloppy with the puck, not securing the puck. They've had this issue. Remember, RP, we talked about this a couple of years ago. Those teams, maybe about 2 to 3 years ago, before Panarin, where they were mishandling the puck, unforced turnovers that they were doing on their own, just things like that. You've seen a little bit like that. You've seen a little bit of that with Pittsburgh's pressuring them. To me, you seen this in the Boston game on the last time we played Boston at home. You saw that happen, I think Pittsburgh took it to another level. And I think it made the Rangers really uncomfortable. They kind of mentioned it on the broadcast. But the Ryan Lindgren, I think the Lindgren situation was just a bad situation with the stick broke when he tried to pass it. It got intercepted by Crosby. He found Gunsel and he tied up. Like, we should have went into the intermission up 1-0, right there off the rip. But because of unfortunate circumstance, things like that happen and whatever. Keandre Miller, even on the shorthand goal they gave up, like just miscommunication, bad defense. He's got to own it. Keandre Miller made a bad play on the puck. And they got a cheap one off of that. That's how I seen it in this Pittsburgh season. I'm not going to go – because they put up 2-6 spots against Jersey. I know we could say, we're supposed to beat Jersey. But I'll say like this, like 6 goals is still 6 goals, man. Back-to-back games. And they put up 6 against Boston a couple of games before that. I don't think it's necessarily scoring. But in a game like this, Glenn, to your point, I am kind of anxious to see – how interesting the Rangers would have made it if we had a Panarin. It's hard to say that because I don't like to talk in what ifs because we got to roll with what we got. And right now we just got to continue to roll what we got. I'll say that I am a little bit optimistic, even though we do have a tough schedule. I don't think the teams we're going to face coming up are going to put up the pressure in our opposing zone like Pittsburgh does. And they do it – it seems like it's like clockwork. This happened to even the first couple of times we went to Pittsburgh. They did the same thing. They made us uncomfortable, and they made us costly turnovers. They do very well with shorthanded goals, even on our own power play. So I'm not as down – I'm disappointed that we didn't at least get a split or even at least a point in this game. At least tied it up, make it go to overtime. But I just think the way Pittsburgh – I think there's something in that where they made the Rangers look really uncomfortable as far as getting up the ice the way the Rangers want to. And I don't think – I haven't seen any other team within our division do that to us this year. Ranger Proud, anything else you'd like to add? And Brandon Lemieux was a healthy scratch. Well, what was going on with that?
He really hasn't done much, and the coach is trying to keep Blackwell in the lineup, and DiGiuseppe's playing well in the lineup, and we look at the bottom 6 forwards. They're playing better than Lemieux right now. They don't need that aggressiveness at all, but he's someone's got to sit out, and I just think he's rotating all of them. And remember, when Panarin does return, someone else has to sit out permanently.
Uh-huh.
So who's it
uh-huh.
going to be? DiGiuseppe, Gauthier, it can't be Blackwell, because Blackwell's like a Jesper Fast, but with better hands.
Yeah.
With better scoring touch. So he's in a tough spot when it comes to that. I understand that. But to what you were saying, Steve, the only problem with that is look how they played in the third period. They totally isolated their forecheck. They shut them down offensively. So if you could do it for one period, you could do it for 2 and 3. They're having trouble focusing. They're having trouble with commitment. They're overcommitting on their defensive play. They don't know if they have to play better defense or better offense. Even Chris Kreider said it the other night in one of the presses, how he thinks the team is concentrating so much on defense that it's affecting their offense. Well, then the coach has to change something up. You can't be playing this inconsistent 24 games into a 56-game season. You have to either crap or get off the pot at this point. And, who knows when Panarin's coming back. So for this period of time, you just have to put him on the wayside and forget about him. These are the guys that you have. So I think when they play as a solid unit, they can skate with any of the teams ahead of them, but they have a consistency problem. And it's like what Glenn was saying, our goaltenders don't make the big save when it's most needed. It just rarely has happened this entire season. We've been spoiled. We've had Henrik Lundqvist all these years. And wins, losses, whatever, Hank would make that big save. Hank would steal you 3 or 4 wins in a season at least, early, especially mm-hmm. early in his career, not the last couple of years. We all know that. But he always had the opportunity to do that. Our goaltending now doesn't. And yes, they're young and they're rookies and they have to get established. But this all has to happen at the same time. You know, and like what you were saying about Miller, see, I give Miller a little bit more leeway because everyone forgets he's a rookie. And these are the growing pains that a rookie defenseman, which is really hard to do in the NHL, we all know that. So he gets a little bit of a pass. He's playing, you know, 5 year veteran minutes out
yeah.
there. He's on a power play. He's on a penalty kill. He's playing minutes a regular rookie defenseman wouldn't even see. So
uh-huh.
if you want that, then you have to accept the mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with Lafreniere. He's going to make some mistakes. He's a solid hockey player. And not that he made mistakes tonight. I don't think he really did. But you have to expect that in a grinding season, in a marathon season like this. So we all go back to the same thing, right, guys? The veterans have to be veterans.
Yep.
You know, when Jack Johnson's leading your offensive rush, we have a problem.
yeah.
And I personally thought tonight, Fox and Lindgren look tired tonight. You know, you're playing a lot of games in a short time. They can't be playing 24 minutes. It's just too much hockey.
Yeah.
They're out there against everybody. They are the top pair on the team when it was supposed to be Truba. And I know he was hurt and all, but even when he wasn't hurt, those guys, he has to find a way to get them off the ice a little bit. They can't
yeah.
be playing every other shift, 25 minutes, 26 minutes. It just takes its toll, and tonight it did. Fox made some
yeah.
stupid little mistakes. They were hammering Lindgren, and Lindgren could take a beating like no one else. So, you know, it's a combination. It's all these little things, but when you put it together, it's one big problem that's just starting to eat away, never mind the playoffs, at their confidence. And once that goes, then you're really in trouble.
Well, let me ask you this, RP, before we go to Glenn. Who are the real Rangers? Is it the version of the Rangers we played against the Bruins, or is it more so versus the Penguins? I'm going to discount Jersey.
You know, I think it's versus the Penguins. I think
okay.
it's versus the Penguins. Yeah, they played good against the Bruins last time, but, you know, they did lose a couple of one-goal games to them. It's an up-and-down roller coaster. I think tonight is just what the team is. And, you know, we can't keep saying they're tied and short. The season, as you said, isn't going to get easier. It's going to get a lot harder.
Yep.
I mean, look at all the teams that are ahead of us, the Islanders, the Flyers, the Capitals, the Bruins, the Penguins. There's plenty of games to play against them, and they're all playing. They're at a different level right now. The Penguins and the Flyers are battling for the fourth spot in the playoffs, and they both have, I think, 4 more wins than the Rangers have. It's hard to overcome. So I'm just looking for them to play consistent and better hockey, but I think the team that you saw tonight is the team. It's an inconsistent team, but when they find their groove, when they find their chemistry, then it can be fun and entertaining like that third period was. They need to play like that when the game is tied. They need to play with that when they're up a goal, not just when they're down a goal in the third period.
All right, let's go back to Glenn. And Glenn, your thoughts on that? Or anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think RP brings up some good points. You know, the teams that are ahead of us, the gap is starting to widen. And we're going to be playing those teams, and we haven't shown that we can beat them. We've shown we can play with them for the most part, but we can't show that we can take points away from them that we're going to need to climb the mountain. And, you know, I think, like RP said, you know, this team is probably somewhere along the lines of what we've seen against Pittsburgh. You know, they came out pretty good on Sunday night, and then they got bombarded with those 3 goals, and it kind of made them take a step back, and they really never recovered from that. In fact, we had an old saying when I had my season tickets. We always said, you never leave a game early because you might see something you never saw before, or you might see something you don't want to miss. Between the second and third period, I told my wife, hey, if you want to go to bed, go read a book, you know, fine, because I'm excited to change the game, you know. Today, after, you know, kind of a so-so first period, then they kept fighting, and they finally broke through. Like I said, they outshot Pittsburgh 28-11 over the last 2 periods. You know, they got within a goal again, but they just can't get over that hump. And yeah, I know we can't talk about, you know, well, Panarin's gone and blah, blah, but, you know, the game would have felt a lot different at 3-2 if Panarin was playing. I think he just changes the confidence in the team, the dynamic,
definitely.
Way they, you know, it's not just missing his goal scoring. It's just, it changes the team completely. And, you know, I have high hopes for this team. Whenever he comes back, I think they're going to be really good. We got a lot of new kids in the pipeline. Krafchov's going to be here soon if he doesn't keep scoring and prolonging his team in the playoffs in Russia. You know, I just think right now it's going to be hard for this team to make up the points they got to make to get into the playoffs. It's just a matter of, you know, the kids getting used to playing these types of games against teams that are maybe a little bit better than them, and hoping that makes them better. They start to gain some confidence, and you know, I think at this point we're really kind of building towards next year more than trying to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, guys, I mean, I think you guys have valid points, and I'm not trying to be delusional because I usually side with real realistic stuff. And you guys probably have a point as far as Rangers are probably outside looking in. Glenn, when you said the Rangers need to get over the hump, I think we could also say the first period they were just simply outplayed. I know the Rangers had the hits, but they had to have the hits because they were getting killed on shots on goal by Pittsburgh tonight in the first period.
Usually you get a lot of hits because you don't have the puck.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. Because I keep on hearing Sam talk about that. I'm like, but they don't have the puck. Like, that's common sense.
Yeah, so I mean, I heard they had like 40-something hits on Sunday, which was their season high. Tonight they had 58, which is obviously another season high.
Season high.
So they're hitting, but hitting usually means you don't have the puck.
Okay. And you're losing the puck as well. You're turning
yeah,
it over,
right,
which
exactly.
I saw a lot. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But
they actually won on faceoffs tonight too, for which is unusual for the Rangers.
Yeah, they're
54% on the faceoffs tonight. For them is good. It wasn't
Zibanejad,
though. He had a bad night. So everything's starting to take their toll on him personally.
Yeah.
And let me ask you guys a question while we're rambling on. Isn't it kind of detrimental that we still have Anthony DeAngelo sitting at home when the power play is this bad? At what point do you say, you know, maybe I was wrong, and if I can trade him, maybe I can make the power play better? Isn't there somewhere when you have to step back and go, maybe I overreacted on this. Maybe he learned his lesson by now. Maybe we shouldn't be paying him $5 million to sit and coach high school hockey or whatever he's doing, and the Rangers can't get going on the power play for anything. I mean, the guy was the fourth leading scorer amongst defensemen last year. I know he's a screw-up and he made a huge mistake, and there's a lot of bad things on him, but on the ice, other than that one fight with Gorgiev, on the ice, he wasn't that bad. And I don't know. I'd rather have DeAngelo than Johnson in the lineup right now. I just got to tell you, I don't understand this whole theory of making him sit out a whole season. It's a punishment that you never see any team do. And we're in New York, guys. We've seen a lot of crazy athletes come and go with a lot of attitude problems and detrimental to the team and all of that. These guys are really going to sit him out for another 30 games and pay him all this money? I just don't get it. I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. No one's going to want to take on that salary early. I don't understand what they're doing, but they need to do something with the power play. Yeah, they were 1-for-3 tonight, but they were like 1-for-30. I mean, they're just horrible. Now they're giving up shorthanded goals on the power play too, which is another killer tonight.
Right.
So I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, yeah, and they gave up the shorthanded two on it. They made Teddy Bluger look like one of the better power forwards in the league.
And how many times did we say, Steve, England, beginning of the game, beginning of the period, end of the period, those first 5 minutes are so crucial. And they gave up two goals in that time frame tonight. The Rangers only scored one even goal tonight, and one was on the power.
Yeah, three overall since Sunday, yeah.
So what it is, some games like with the Boston game, let's not even talk about the Devils because It was great that they scored six, but the Devils have a huge problem in net to begin with. It's always important to score, so we don't take it for granted. It's a great thing to have. But their goal scoring is up and down, and now it looks like their top players other than Kreider are really squeezing a stick. I mean, Strom's goal tonight, I believe that was the power play goal. I forgot, but Strom's goal anyway was a ricochet. And you take what you can get, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, Strom's goal was the power play goal, so it wasn't even the greatest power play goal. But they got it, and they took advantage of it, and that's great. But they need to find some consistency on it. It looks like in all three zones. And now they're struggling on faceoffs. You know, when Zibanejad struggles not scoring, that's okay because he's so good on his draws. He's good defensively. And now that's starting to struggle because, you know, mentally he's really stressed out. So they have to figure this out, if not for this season, for next season. There's so many question marks coming up, and the trade deadline's coming up, and it's like the Rangers need help in a lot of areas. And we never thought this year that the defense would be better than the offense. But their defense is better because of K'Andre Miller and Lindgren and Fox. And when Truber is playing his game, those are four really solid players. And let's be realistic, Brendan Smith hasn't played that bad at all. So defense is playing really well. They're probably out of the goaltenders, the offense, and the defense. Defense is leading the way right now, which I never thought would happen when the season started.
Yeah.
It just shows you how you really don't know what you get until they're on the ice.
Well, I mean, both goals that Pittsburgh scored, the two goals that Pittsburgh scored tonight were on giveaways. One was the unfortunate broken stick, but two of them that they scored were on giveaways in our zone, and the third one was a shorthanded goal. And the two we got, it's a good thing that John Marino was standing in front of Pittsburgh net. Yeah, because both of them went off hit. He did Kreider's job tonight. I want to go back to something that RP said. I wondered if they were going to bring D'Angelo back about an hour after Truba broke his thumb. And I was like, you know, why are we going to, you know, we're throwing out Potato and Jack Johnson and everything. I mean, I know he's got a lot of history, but, you know, some of the things that he did, you know, starting off in the season when he mouthed off to a referee and he slammed the door and got an extra two. That game was over. Big deal. A lot of guys do that. I didn't think that was big of a deal. Obviously we know about the Georgiev thing that didn't sound like it was a full-blown fight. I mean, it sounds like maybe just a comment was made, a shove or something like that. So I kind of felt like they were overreacting to that too. Now, I don't know what goes on in the room, but, the guy is good on the power play and the team could use a guy like that right now. So obviously they're not going to do that. I heard recently they're talking about lending him to an AHL team, not Hartford, because they don't want him around Ranger players. I mean, I don't know what to think of this guy, but he's not coming back here, and he's not going to get traded until he's got 1 year left on the contract, which is going to be the offseason. I'll be shocked if somebody takes him at the trade deadline. But they might.
He's going to be bought out, and then he's going to go somewhere and just sign a 1 year deal somewhere. No one's going to trade for him now. They'll wait. The Rangers already said they're thinking of buying him out. That's been the rumors going around. If they're going to send him out all this season, they're not going to do it again next season. They already don't want to trade him because if you trade him, he gets another 4.8 next year. No one's going to want to take that. The Rangers aren't going to want to take half the salary on, so they're going to buy him out and say goodbye, and then he'll go sign somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's just it's just the nature of the beast. That's why they put him on waivers, no one picked him up. It wasn't because of his skill. Sure. No one wanted to pick up a $5 million contract.
Yeah. No, it just seems like such a waste. I mean, they gave him that contract in the offseason. They got about five games out. It just seems like such a waste. But
it really is.
That's what that's the way it's going to be. So not much you can do about it.
You're right, guys. It definitely is a waste of a contract. All this stuff back and forth this summer, trying to secure that and just to have it end up like this. It really is a waste. It's an unfortunate situation. And the Rangers could fix it if they really want to. If they really want to try to win. But I don't think they want to have the backlash from media and certain fans. Yeah. So I get it. I get it. But, Glenn, but I want to go back to your point, man. That's what I'm saying, man. The Rangers got sloppy with the puck. The turnovers gave the Pittsburgh Penguins goals. It's certain pressure that this particular team has done that I didn't see from Boston. I didn't see this from Washington. And as great of a defensive team as the Islanders are, I didn't only see this heavy defense or even say forecheck in the offensive zone, the opposing team's offensive zone. I only see this when I see Pittsburgh. The other teams don't do that. Like when the Islanders get a lead, they just lock you down. They just lock up all the zones and they just suffocate you. That's one thing. But when you are trying to turn up ice and you can't even get behind your net, this all happened in the first period in the last two games. That's what I'm seeing, man. I don't even necessarily think the scoring is an issue. I just think passing, you're not securing the puck. You're hitting guys on the sticks. The pucks is flying all everywhere. You're trying to do stretch passes. They're locking that up. And then when Pittsburgh really wanted to turn up the heat, they did. And they do it consistently every time. It's like the Rangers know it's coming. I know it's coming, and they still can't stop it. And they stop it to the point where they're getting opposing goals, shorthanded goals, things like that should not have even happened. But I mainly see it with this team. Like all the games we play Pittsburgh, it seems like it's only like this with this team versus not the Flyers, not the Islanders, not the Devils. I mean, everybody has their own different style, but it seems like when it's this team, it happens and they exploit it very well. And Quinn does not adjust to this. We got to when we play Pittsburgh next time, we have got to find ways to get guys who are going to secure the puck and get through the neutral zone. I mean, it's almost like basic hockey. You look at it from that aspect, you know. I mean, you have plays like Zibanejad got that first goal on Sunday, and everything was fine. We were skating well; everything was fine. Then here comes the pressure, and the Rangers can't handle it. And we can say they're young. We can say this and that, but this is what's happening, and they're turning up. And Crosby finds Guentzel or whatever. You can see Malkin or Dumoulin or Chris Letang. It doesn't matter who. They are so well coached and they're veterans on that team, and the Rangers can't handle it versus this team. This is why I say I don't think you guys are even saying that. We're saying realistically, okay, it's going to be a long shot to make the playoffs. But I just think this is just a bad matchup personnel wise. We talk about Chris Kreider. I thought Chris Kreider had a very good all around game tonight. I mean, this is one of those things where, he didn't necessarily – he had an assist because of a deflected goal, but he had the hits. You know, he played the dirty game tonight, and I can respect that. So, you know, I know a lot of fans want to get on him because they expect him to have a hat trick every game and all that. I mean, some of those games are going to happen, against a New Jersey team, you know. But some other games you got to have to get – somebody has to play dirty. I mean, if you're not going to have Lemieux in the lineup, somebody has to get there and – do the hitting, get in front of the net, and try to screen and all that. I mean, I think he's done his job over the last 3 weeks, man, if you ask me, 2 to 3 weeks. I don't want to see Pittsburgh for a while on the schedule. So I'll take my chances versus anybody else, man, because of the style of play we play, and it's just not work against them. And especially, like you said, guys, I do want to see when we have our best players in Panarin. I hate to sound like that, but – I just, you know, trust my eye. I'm agreeing with you guys, but I'm seeing it from a different side. Like, man, if we had our full strength and we play smarter with the puck and not as timid of turning up ice, things would probably be different because we would not be giving up shorthanded goals, so on and so forth. RP, anything else you'd like to add? Who else we got on the schedule this week? Boston, right? Got to go to Boston.
Boston, and then Philly.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, you look at it from the other way, Steve. It's just also a lot of inexperience, and that's the growing pain that we have to deal with. But I just got the post game notes emailed to me, and 15 of the 24 games this season have been decided by 2 goals or less.
Yeah.
So the Rangers are in the majority of their hockey games.
Yep.
But they're making the mistakes and the inconsistencies that we're talking about that's just costing them wins. Now they're a young team. Some of their veterans haven't hit their potential this season. You've had the Panarin problem, the Shesterkin injury, the D'Angelo situation. So they are doing the best with the hand that they're dealt. But then you see like the third period tonight, and you're like, why can't they do that all the time? Everything you said, Steve, is right, but then that third period just showed me that when they really stop being scared to play and stop thinking about the game and play the game, how effective and how great they can really play.
Yeah.
They need to find a way to bring that into all three periods. And, you know, we keep saying the same thing. They have to play a complete hockey game. They have to play a complete hockey game. It's a 60-minute game. But when does it start? And who do you not blame, but who's responsible when it's not happening? It's a, you know, I'm reading the postgame notes, and if you read the notes without looking at the score, you thought the Rangers won the game tonight.
Yeah.
Yep. They out hit them. They won the faceoffs. They won the power play opportunities. Their penalty killing is number one in the league over the last 16 games, and I think they're ranked like third or something on the PK overall for the season, or fourth on the PK. So they're doing.
Yeah.
They're doing so many things right, but it just seems that whenever they make a mistake, the puck's in the back
mm-hmm.
of the net.
Yep.
Exactly.
So is it the goaltending not making the big save? Is that making these critical mistakes at the, you know, the exact wrong time? It's hard to put a finger on what is really, really wrong with it. But they're doing so many good things too, so you would think that after a while the hockey gods will flip it the other way. But instead, they just keep finding themselves in quicksand. Like you said, the Islanders just scored the last game a minute and a half in, and they scored three goals in 61 seconds, and the game's for all intents and purposes is over.
Uh-huh.
They, even Quinn said they never recovered from that. And then today, they're down, and they start to come back, and they get snake bitten at the end. Because let's be realistic. Last year, you shouldn't have scored that goal at the end of the game to tie it. Even if you lose in overtime, like you said, you get a point out of the game. So there's so many good things that I think fans just aren't seeing because the end result is another loss, another one-goal loss. You know, another game where Zibanejad didn't score. Everyone's hitting on so many negative things. There's a lot of good things, too. I mean, we're picking them apart, too. But you look at it from the other standpoint, there's a lot of positive. Kako played a great game. Keitel skated really well. Excuse me. Miller, tonight he's getting a little bit beat up. Teams start to know Miller now. They're watching tape. They're watching video because he's very good. So now the game's getting harder for him, and that's expected in the rookie season. So there's a lot of positives here, too. I just think the expectations were a little too high for the Rangers coming into the season, especially if they made the playoffs last year, and then you got Lafreniere, and Kako was playing better. But now it's always easier just to say what they're doing wrong. But there are a lot of good things going on, and it's not all loss. It's just
I agree.
You know, it just seems that the bad is outweighing the good right now.
Yeah,
adversity has definitely been an issue
points.
With the Rangers this year, and they're handling it the best they can.
If they can cut down the turnovers, I think we're having a different tune because everything you see in RP is what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're playing all
right.
It's just. The
You're
pressure
right.
from that particular team it cost them in the two games. Like just like you said, the three goals in a matter of 70 seconds or whatever it was in that first period on Sunday, like they never recovered. And my TV channel never recovered. So I never went back to that on Sunday. I was like, this is over.
And then you look like tonight, Zibanejad had six shots on goal. So he's starting to get his confidence back shooting the puck. Because you remember last week, and then a week before, when we looked at his shots, he had one. He had maybe two. He was passing the puck too much. He was missing the net too much. You know, people are picking on Brett Howden because he's not scoring. He's not a goal scorer, guys. He's a fourth-line, third-line center. But tonight, he drew two penalties. You know, he won 20.
One on Crosby.
He won 20 of 31 faceoffs over the last three games. But if you read Ranger Twitter, Howden is the worst hockey player in the NHL. The Rangers' penalty kill is good because Howden's on the penalty kill. He's one of definite reasons why their penalty killing is so good. I just think people look for reasons to rip certain players apart. You know, why is Howden not being sat when Blackwell and DiGiuseppe and Gute is? Because Howden's doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't want to accept that his job is the fourth line center and a penalty killer. But when Jesper Fast was like that, it was all, you know, the greatest thing in the world. So you have to put everything into perspective, too. This is the team that we have, and this year probably isn't going to be the year, but it's all going to be a growing experience. that's the downside to making the playoffs in a shortened season last year, is once you get there, they think every year you should be getting there.
Yeah.
Their true team is coming out now. Good or bad, it is what it is.
All right, Glenn, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we sit here every week and we kind of pick apart, you know, who's not playing well and what's going wrong and everything. But, you know, I'm just as excited and optimistic about this team as I was when the season started. This is going to be a great run that we have ahead of us. I truly believe that. But, you know, we've all watched hockey for a long time, and the things that's going on with this team now, a young team finds ways to lose. They come close, but when it comes down to, you know, when it comes down to a critical moment in the game, young teams find ways to lose. And that's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that Buffalo game when they went in with a 3-2 lead and won the game 3-2 in the third period. That mm-hmm. was a good step for me. I was like, that's good. They learned how to, you know, hold on and protect the lead. And I think, you know, a lot of these things are going to come in steps, you know. And there's going to be games where, you know, they look real good and we're like, wow, all right, they're learning. And then there's going to be other games where it looks like maybe they're taking a step back. But I'm just as optimistic as ever about this team. You know, we knew going in with the teams in the division that it was going to be tough. You know, you hated losing those points to the Devils and the Sabres early. I mean, if we had those extra 4 or 6 points, you know, we'd still be right in the mix.
Right.
But that's what young teams do. And, you know, despite all whatever we talk about between now and the end of the season, I think RP is exactly right. This is the team we have, and we have a lot of good things to look forward to, and we just got to live with some of the growing pains right now. And I just want to mention something that you said, Steve, about the Pittsburgh forechecking seemed to be rattling us a little bit. You know, if you're Mike Sullivan, you're thinking, all right, Zibanejad doesn't have his usual jump. Panarin's not here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to worry about odd man rushes going the other way. Let's forecheck the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I see
it's true.
We don't want to, you know, dwell on who's not here and who's not playing well and everything. But those things matter. That's how you game plan. And there's nobody on this team that Pittsburgh right now has to worry about, you know, breaking out on a 2-on-1 or a breakaway or something. So just go in. They're a young team, a young defense. Force them, make them make mistakes, and that's what happened tonight. So, you know, credit to Mike Sullivan for a good game plan against this team. And if other teams see what Pittsburgh is doing against us, they're going to see more of it, and they're going to have to learn how to get around it. They're going to have to learn how to make that good first outlet pass and get the puck out of the zone quickly and let teams have to, you know, be back on their heels a little bit. And it'll happen. It'll happen. It's just all part of the process. But
the thing,
you know,
is about that, Glenn, I agree with you, but here's the thing about why I like it. I like this is in our favor, because even though Mike Sullivan may expose that gameplay, I don't think we've seen all the teams in the division. I don't think other teams have the personnel that plays to their strength. I think that plays to Pittsburgh's strength. And I hate to sound like I'm making an excuse, but I'm watching these games. I think Pittsburgh enjoys doing this to teams. And then really, you know, they're licking their chops when it's the Rangers, like Brian Rust. Like, they give him as many shots on goal as possible whenever we play them. You know, Evan Rodriguez was doing a good job tonight. Kapanen, fantastic.
Yep.
And if you guys, you know, Sidney Crosby and Jay Gunsel played together in the same line for years, man. They know where each other is on the ice. So, you know, when you are doing this, you know, defense in your offensive zone, a.k.a. the forechecking, you causing turnovers, they know – it's almost like they know where each other is with their eyes closed. I don't think other teams – not even Boston is – I don't even think Boston's forecheck is that serious like Pittsburgh's.
Yeah.
But, you know, Boston excels when they're, you know, when they're in offensive zone, they get it to – you know, and we're going to see them this weekend, you know, Bergeron to – Marshawn to Pastrnak. You know, you'll see situations like that when they already have control of the puck when they're entering the zone. They don't. I don't see these teams like doing it like Pittsburgh like that. And I'm optimistic of that. And let me say this last point. We go around for final thoughts. And we talk about the last time we played Pittsburgh when we won. You know, Panarin had a very good game. He had 3 points. Like this, it seems like a long time ago, but you know that's an element we missed, man. I mean, he's got Rooney involved and Kreider. I think he had scored in the game, and Shesterkin was in net, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was a Monday game because we came on the Tuesday after that to discuss that. You know, that's a big piece, man. I mean, you can't go to war with a team versus a team that's won, what, 3 Stanley Cups with like the core of that team without your best player. And I hate to say it like this, but, you know, the Rangers are in this. I just think there's costly mistakes, and you just got to have to live with it as Rangers fan. I know Rangers Twitter is not going to like what we say or I like what I just said, but, you know, if you play close to a perfect hockey game and you're careful with the puck, this is totally different. I think you could kind of at least get a split out of this. I'm not going to say this is all thrown away. I think I like what I see for the most part in a lot of these areas of the team. I do. Uh-huh. Even the second power play, the one we didn't score, was actually, you know, I like the movement of the puck. I like the side to side. I like the chances. It's just the better execution versus adjusted to what a team throws at us, I think, kind of screwed us in this game. That's how I look at it.
Uh-huh.
Glenn, you any final thoughts? And we could go to RP as well. Because we don't have a post game next Tuesday. We're going to be in between the Flyer games at home. So, I'm cool, though. I'm good. It's just frustrating. I hate losing to Pittsburgh, man. There's a lot of personal things about that.
I've hated losing to Pittsburgh since Mario and Yager. So, you know, you're not telling me anything I don't already know.
Francis.
Yeah, Ron Francis. Oh, God.
Ron Francis.
But I go, yep. You know, I think you're right, Steve. I mean, Pittsburgh has some kind of system that really plays to our weaknesses. Remember early on, Pittsburgh was giving up bushelfuls of goals. And I'm wondering if, you know, Mike Sullivan might have just tweaked some things and kind of decided, you know, the best defense is to make the other team go 200 feet. So let's kind of change what we're doing here, be a little more aggressive on the forecheck and try to keep teams from coming out. And their defense has been a lot better since then. So I don't know enough about Pittsburgh's system that they had early in the season, but I think Sam and Joe mentioned it during the game too. They're a different team than they were when we saw them earlier in the season. Anyway, just the final thought, I totally agree with you as far as, I'm happy for the most part with this team. A lot of the mistakes, a lot of the young errors and stuff are things that I think we all went into the season expecting. And, I think for the most part they've been very entertaining. They've been working hard. They've been fighting back in games that they're behind. And I think it just bodes very well for the future.
Glenn NYR on Twitter. Hey, Glenn, you know what? I was looking forward to – I was hoping we were going to get this thing into overtime because I was saying, hey, man, if we get this into overtime, we steal this back. You know, I was going to hope we get John Marino a Broadway hat, man, for the 2 goals. Man,
oh, absolutely. Hey, he deserves second star anyway, Steve, you know, for us. So.
Yeah. Man, that was ever some Benedict Arnold stuff, man. Oh, man. Shout out to Glenn, man. Thank you, man. We'll be back next Tuesday, man. RP articles, man. Down the pipe, man. I look forward to reading something, man. Give us we got Boston this weekend. Who else we got? Boston and Philly, right?
Who would Boston and then Philly?
All right.
This schedule is going to be fun. Some more afternoon games. Some more crazy schedules. 1 o'clock on Saturday. But I got two in Boston and then two home against Philly, and then two in Washington back-to-back.
Yep.
And then one Buffalo, and then, and then Philly again. It's a lot of Philadelphia and Boston now coming up. So,
well, the good news is we only got 2 more with the Penguins, so we don't have to see them too much more.
That's right. But, you know, like you guys have been saying, this is a team that we have, and there's a lot of growing pains. There's a lot of excitement when they're playing well. I think everyone, including the three of us, sometimes can be a little on the critical side, because we just want them to – we want to see that development. We want to see that gelling, and it's just not there yet. I don't think it's the coaching. I think it's a little bit of everything. And, you know, I wrote an article today for Forever Blue Shirts that the Rangers are a mid-pack team. Where they are right now is who they are. Good or bad, it is what it is. They're not in that top four or five genre. They're better than the Sabres. They're better than the Devils overall. And that's just what it is right now. They're a young team, and I know people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. They're a young hockey team. They're learning on the fly as they go in a real condensed schedule. There's not a lot of practice time. There's only so much the head coach can tweak, you know, on the power play. And we look at the plays that they have, these guys should be scoring and doing well, and they've done better on the power play, but they need to start taking even more advantage of those opportunities because they're not scoring a lot of goals right now. So, you know, you go into Boston, two tough games, and as Steve says, you try to get the split out of it. You hope you get the split out of it, because if they drop two to Boston, then things are really going to start widening gap-wise. And it's not even to make the playoffs. You just want to be playing competitively. Every game needs to be important all the way down to the end. You don't want the last 3-4 weeks to be a waste, because then things just sort of really lose. You know, you start to slip away. We don't know when or how Panarin's going to come back. We don't know where Panarin is. Only Quinn supposedly is acknowledged that he's spoken with him, but he won't disclose anything that he had said, which is understandable too. So, you know, we just got to keep plugging along, keep finding positives, keep hoping Zibanejad will come out of his slump. And he's starting to shoot more. I was more concerned when he wasn't shooting the puck. If you don't shoot, you don't score. Just get the puck on net and good things will happen. So that's starting to come around again. And we just got to just keep plugging along and not fall into the quicksand, the 3 goals in 60 seconds kind of crap. Learn from these one-goal losses, because eventually you're going to be on the other side of that. Eventually you're going to be like, no, I know how to protect a one-goal lead. I know what to do with a one-goal lead. And that'll... that all takes time, and we're seeing that whole work in progress right in front of us.
Yeah, they're not far away. They're not far away. They're hanging in these games, so it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, we'll be back next Tuesday to discuss what happened in Boston in between the Philadelphia games, the homestand. I'm actually. It's like, on one hand, I just want to beat Pittsburgh because it's who they are and the relations I have with Pittsburgh Penguin fans over the years. I wanted to just have a little, you know, yeah, we got one over you guys. But the other thing is, there's a lot of good things that's happening, but the critical mistakes has cost them in this too many game series. But I just think we can move on. We have to learn from it. And if we learn from it, we'll move on when we see them again. I don't see this another team like that doing that to us after seeing all these teams this season. I just don't see that, honestly, man. But, you know, let me get one more props. And I know I said it as far as Ryan Lindgren's broken stick turnover, but I thought he made a great play before that. There was a 2-on-1. I don't know if you remember, Glenn or RP, where Malkin had the 2-on-1. He had a great defensive play against that. You know, the young guys are showing they can compete on plays, man. And knowing what an opponent usually does, like Malkin passing it off, like instead of taking that shot, I thought Pittsburgh was going to convert. And just little things like that, there are positives games within the game that I do like, man. And I thought Lindgren defensively was fantastic against a 2-on-1, man, you know?
Oh, he played that 2-on-1 perfectly. Yep.
Yeah. All right. All right, the Ring Podcast from Ranger Proud, Glenn and NYR on Twitter, Ranger Proud on Twitter, Bleed Blue Show on Twitter. We'll be back next Tuesday. Sangres, ladies and gentlemen, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and all that shebang, bleedblueshow.com/podcast. RP, I'm going to be reading a lot of articles this week, man. Let's just put it like that.
I will try for
you. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.